Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
You know, we've got a whole new bunch of Bibles in the room today. So we're looking up the Gospel of John. Parents can help with this if you got your Bible. Gospel of John, chapter 13. John 13. Starting with verse 31. John chapter 13, starting with verse 31. Gracious and loving God, as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, let us all hear with joy what it is that you would say to us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. My version says this. When he had gone out, it's actually he's talking about Judas there. When he had gone out, Jesus said to the remaining disciples, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in himself and will glorify him at once, little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and I have said to the Jews, so now I'm saying to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know, your new Bible has a lot of words of inspiration in it and a lot of wonderful and incredible stories. But your new Bible has some commandments in it. Commandments. Things that God wants us to do. Commandments. Commands. I mean, that's a big, heavy-duty word, command. We don't hear, though, that word too often related to, we hear words of grace and other kind, but command. Now, the Old Testament's got lots of commands. There are the top 10 commands. Do you know the top 10 commands? Let me hear you. What are they? Top 10 commands. Exodus 20. Do you have your new Bible? Exodus 20. Okay, let's work on this together. The top 10 commandments. 1, you shall have no other gods before me. 2, thou shalt not have any graven images. Nothing, you don't go out and make a picture of God. 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. 4, keep the Sabbath day holy. There should be a day in your life when you give it to God. Keep the Sabbath day, remember it, and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother, and your days shall be long upon the earth. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery, deceive, cheat. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. Covet anything that does not belong to you. Very good. I hear all kinds of voices during that. I hear older voices. I hear young voices. We know those top ten. Now, the ancient rabbis tell us that in the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Law, there are actually 613 commandments. We've just named 10, so there's 603 left to go. So, let's review those. First one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Number two, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And number three, that's where Jesus stopped. He stopped at the first two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength. You love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, within that is all the law and the prophets. Then he said, there's another way of saying it. You can say it this way. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that contains all the law and the prophets. But then he said, in our reading for the day, he said, set it this way. What I really want you to do is I want you to love as you have been loved by me. And I'm making it a command. I want you to love as you have been. I have loved you. Now, we have been working on that for the last 2,000 years. We're still working on it. There is a lot of rhetoric and a lot of verbiage related to, well, if we just love one another. And you would think in 2,000 years we would get it. Just love one another. All you need is love. The truth of the matter is, love is just not just a feeling or some kind of an intuitive thing that just happens. Christian love, the love of God, the love that Jesus is talking about, is a skill that must be learned and practiced. It's intentional. It's something that we work on day in and day out. It's a commitment that we must make to ourselves and to God. I will work on this. It's a skill that I need to practice and practice and practice. Now, there is help, and the help is this. When we open ourselves up to the power of the Holy Spirit in our life by the grace of Jesus Christ to be transformed, heart, mind, soul, spirit, and body, then we have help in acquiring the skill and in our practice of what it means to be a people of Christian love. To love as Jesus loves. To love enemies. To love the unlovable. To love unconditional. To love in spite of. It takes practice. And thanks be to God that we are a part at Stonebridge United Methodist Church, the school of Christian love. It's here. It's in this place. It's modeled by many, and many of those of you in this room. Sometimes you catch it, and sometimes you sense it, and sometimes you just know it. That's how we raise our children. So they can catch it. They can see it played out. They can see it in the lives and the eyes and the embraces and the joy of what it means to be in the love of Christ. It will change and affect their lives forever to walk in the love of God. And it takes a school. We are in the midst of what we're calling this month of extravagant generosity. Extravagant generosity is a result and a product of something else. It is the product of the love of God. The love of God, which is manifested in the extravagant generosity of God when it is embraced by you and me, then extravagant generosity of the human heart overflows. Yes, this is a part of our stewardship program as we are seeking to secure the resources needed to take Stonebridge into 2012, healthy and vital and a vibrant place that it is. This week we've been thinking about people in this church that have influenced us, that has had an impact on our lives. I'm going to introduce to you now one of those people that's had an influence and impact on me in a relatively short time. And he has a testimony that I want you to hear. This is Trey Smith. Trey is the project director of this extravagant generosity effort. And spending time with him and listening to his story and how he embraces this congregation and how God has led him on this journey in this place is a remarkable testimony of this place. And if you haven't met him, I want you to meet him. And if you haven't heard him, this is the time, because I'm very grateful for Trey to come this morning and to share with us a little bit of his life and relationship with Christ. Trey.
Thank you, Vic. Well, that's a lot to live up to. I'm just a dude. My name's Trey Smith. My wife, Katie, and I came to Stonebridge in 2004, and I can tell you that if I do sound a little nervous, it's not because I'm a formal public speaker. Although the neighbors have heard me speaking publicly the last three Saturday afternoons in the second half of Texas A&M's football games that have gone horribly wrong. But actually, our family story starts before Stonebridge here. I grew up in San Antonio, and I was about 11 years old when my parents got divorced, and it had a profound effect on me, and it caused me to kind of put up this hard shell. So fortunately for me, by the time I got to high school, I got involved in a ministry called Young Life, and I was able to kind of witness God through incredible mentors that I had through Young Life. They looked and acted a lot like Ed Whipple does with the youth of this church. It was really easy to see God through those mentors that I had. So fortunately, God began through that process slowly breaking down some of the walls that I had built up. My wife's story starts in small town Kansas. She grew up in Ark City, Kansas, just on the other side of the Oklahoma border. And she grew up in an incredible home. You know, when I met her, I was kind of shocked to see that there was somebody who actually lived the Mayberry life, if you remember that. Her dad was the banker. Uncle was the doctor. The other uncle was the insurance man. Mom later became the mayor of the town. The only thing that was really missing was there was no fire chief in the family. And I don't think the town butcher was in the family either. But they had just about everything else covered. So she grew up in a really cool home. And she found the Lord through the Presbyterian Church and through a place called Westminster Woods, where she went as a camper and later served as a staff member. So it's funny, it take us through high school, and I decided to go to Texas A&M University not really by any choice of my own. I was a third generation Aggie, and if I wanted school paid for, it was at A&M. So I went to A&M. And Katie, growing up in her small town, there were a lot of Jayhawks in her family. So she followed family footsteps to the University of Kansas, and that's kind of where our story really begins. The summer after our freshman year of college, I decided I wanted to kind of give back. I had a great experience through Young Life and kind of wanted to do the same thing that some of these mentors had done in my life. And I found Camp Ozark, which is a Christian sports camp in southwest Arkansas, owned by an Aggie for kids 7 to 17. And I had the opportunity to go serve there that summer. I didn't want to go back home. I wanted to do something a little different. And little did I know that there was a girl in Kansas that had just gotten out of a workout sometime during her freshman year of college, was walking around campus and saw a poster for this place called Camp Ozark, decided to look into it, and before you knew it, she was at Camp Ozark that summer too. God was preparing a path for us. That was one of those moments in my life at Camp Ozark, and I think for her too, where she was able to experience God's generosity through that camp, through those kids, and through the staff members that we worked with at that camp. It was very apparent that there was something different about the people that attended that camp and worked on staff of that camp, and that difference was Christ. And what started off as a friendship between us grew into a little bit more than that. We dated long distance for about a year and a half. And then, much to the chagrin of her father, which I think he's forgiven me now for it, but she transferred to A&M. So she transferred to A&M junior year, and we continued to serve at Camp Ozark in the summers when we were in college. The unique thing was when we got engaged at Camp Ozark, went back to school for our last semester of our senior year, and so we got engaged and then got married shortly thereafter, right after we graduated from college. So we moved up to Dallas, and Dallas was really halfway between our two hometowns. So that's kind of where we decided to settle. We didn't want to go back to our hometown, so we came to Dallas. And I knew that we weren't long for Dallas. We had this apartment right at Spring Valley and Preston. And we had this apartment there, and Katie was student teaching at the time. And so right before her first day of student teaching over in East Richardson, you know, we weren't really familiar with the area or anything like that, but we mapped out this course to her school. And so the night before, we made the map, we got back, and woke up the next morning, and she gets in the car to take off to go to her first day of student teaching, and I get a phone call, and she says, I'm lost. I said, well, where are you? What are you doing? She said, well, you know how you have to take that left when you get out of our apartment complex, and you have to cross like six lanes of traffic and hang the left? I just decided I'd take a right, and then another right, and then another right, and then that would put me right back on the path that I was supposed to go on. But I'm at 635 in Luna, I think. And I thought, oh. So we got her on the right path. But I knew that we weren't long for Dallas at that time. And it's funny, I'd drive up and down the tollway every day to go to work and call it some sort of calling or revelation. But I'd drive by this billboard at Keller Springs in the tollway every day that said Stonebridge Ranch. It had a picture of like grandparents walking with their grandkids, feeding ducks in a pond, and then like this golfer in the corner and this fountain, and it just looked like Pleasantville. So I thought that's where we had to move to, right? So that's pretty much how we found Stonebridge Ranch, was through that billboard. But we bought our first house here in 2002, and after an extensive church search, we wound up a block and a half away from our neighborhood at Stonebridge United Methodist Church. And it was at that time that we started thinking about starting a family and all those wonderful things. And we just felt very comfortable here at Stonebridge. There were a lot of young families, and we just thought that we'd fit right in. And it's been a blessing. And in 2004, we were just starting to have our family. And we go in. The other thing, too, is I don't know if you've experienced God's humor, but he's a funny guy. And we go into, Katie's pregnant in 2004. We go into the sonogram, find out what we're having. And now, mind you, my wife is a self-proclaimed tomboy. She's the youngest of three. She has two older brothers. I grew up in this rat pack in San Antonio where we terrorized the neighborhood and, you know, played sandlot baseball and did all that. So the sonographer tells us that we're having a girl. And we looked at each other like, what in the world are we going to do with this little girl? And 3 years, well, a couple months later, Haley came. And then 3 years later, Reese, our second daughter, came. And then another year and a half after that, our third daughter, Landry, came. Landry's now two. So, but it's funny. We saw God's generosity in a unique way, too. Katie's mom was a wonderful lady, and she passed away December of 2008. It was a really tough time because Katie was pregnant with Landry, but Katie's mom passed away in December of 2008, and it was really tough. She was the matriarch of the family. She was a wonderful woman. She was just a giver to anybody and everybody, and so it was tough, but the one thing that made it unbelievable was God showed himself in an incredible way, because 5 weeks after Katie's mom passed away, Landry came. And as soon as Landry was born, you looked at her and she looked exactly like Katie's mom, Janet. It was amazing. So even to this day, even though Janet's not with us anymore, we have Landry running around the house bringing joy every single day. She looks just like a little Janet, and she's joyful and she's happy. And you know, it's just, that's one other way that we've seen God's generosity is, you know, through death, he brings new life. So in 2004, we joined the church, and as our family grew, my kiddos were involved in the Sunday school program, and they've gotten involved in Sunshine Kids Preschool and Vacation Bible School and all of that here at Stonebridge. My wife has been involved in various small groups. She's also served on the care team at points in time and been involved in the preschool program as well. But I was the guy who came to church every Sunday, but didn't engage all that much. I assumed the seat in the back of the church, just like I did in college. I wasn't the guy who's going to step up and get on the first row and be right next to the professor. I found my place in the back row, and I kind of approached church the same way. But one thing that was unique, as my wife was involved with the church and the kids were involved, I kept hearing, through selective hearing, the message at this church that we needed more money. We needed more money. It seemed like I kept hearing that over and over again. And I would get in the car after church, and I'd, you know, question why in the world they kept asking for money, and I'd ask my wife about it, but I never got involved. And it got to the point where I realized that, one, I needed to stop asking questions, or I needed to get involved, one of the two. And right about that time that I was ready to make something of it, I got a call from Trey Worley, and he asked me to jump on the finance committee. And I took him up on it, and I can tell you now that after serving on the finance committee and getting involved in this extravagant generosity program and some of the other things that we've done, that this church, the pastoral staff, the leadership within this church, the board members and trustees are incredible stewards of your gifts and your generosity here at this church, unlike I've ever seen. I can tell you that all my questions have been answered and then some. But we've reached a kind of a unique point in our church life here. There's two things that I've learned about Stonebridge United Methodist Church, you know, through the finance team and getting involved, is we're unique in two ways here at Stonebridge. One is we are a young church. We have not been around 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years like some of our United Methodist brethren right down the road or here in the Metroplex. We don't have endowment funds to lean on and other resources that tenured churches have access to. The other thing that's a challenge but also a strength for us is we are chock full of young families here at Stonebridge. I think that poses challenges in itself from a giving perspective. But I think more importantly, it really is the lifeblood of this church. It's why we're here, and it's why people keep coming to Stonebridge every single day. But I guess I'll leave you with this. This church has made it to this point. This building has been added on to. We have grown, and it's all because of a core group of members and leaders that have really taken this church to where we are now. It's been a struggle at times financially based on some of the factors that I've given you earlier. But we're in a good place right now, but we need to take it to the next level. I know that there are folks in here and at this church who are just like me, who sat in the back of church and just kind of went through the motions, and you're nervous to get involved for whatever reason. I had my own, you know, nervous anxiety about getting too involved in church. But I want to encourage those of you who are the core leaders of this church, who are the core members of this church, that have built this place to this point, I would ask that you continue to give of your time, your energy, your money, your resources. And I would pray that you would look for those opportunities to have that conversation with those folks that are on the bench. They're your friends, they're your neighbors, your coworkers, that are just waiting for somebody like a Trey Worley to reach out to them and say, come on, we want you on the team. Tell them about the amazing things that are going on inside the walls of this church and outside the walls of this church. You don't have to look very far to see really cool stuff going on here. All you have to do is look over there and watch that whole section during worship, and you know that God's doing some pretty cool stuff here. But I would pray that for those of you that have given to this church, you've built this place, I would continue to ask you to reach out to the next set of leaders to take this church to the next level so that we can grow Stonebridge in a new way and continually serve our community and the world by the generous gifts and the time and the resources that people have given to this church. So I ask that you look out for those opportunities. There's folks just like me in this room that are waiting to be reached out to and waiting to get in the game, so to speak. But I thank each and every one of you for welcoming me and my family into this church. And if you have any questions about how to get involved, I would ask that, feel free to ask questions of me and my wife or the pastoral staff or other leaders that you might see here at the church. I thank you so much, and I'll turn it over to Vig.
Thank you, Trey.
Beautiful job. Thank you all very much. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of your presence in our lives. And we give you thanks for Trey, for his family, and for his for the gift of his leadership in this activity. And we give you thanks, O Lord, for today and for being together today with you and with one another. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.